Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I preach in your hearing this evening, for the glory of God, for the lifting up of Jesus Christ, for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of Christians, for the salvation of a nation given to us by God, a message for President Trump, President Obama, pastors, and people from the grave of the prophet Martin Luther King Jr., adapted from his message titled Rediscovering Lost Values. Rediscovering Lost Values. Subtitled, This is a Moral Universe. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 through 46. And the child grew, speaking of Jesus Christ, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem. They turned back again to Jerusalem. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this passage of your holy scriptures. We thank you for your servant, the prophet in our modern times, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who you gave insight into this passage that many have not seen for our country. for our nation and for the world. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. We acknowledge that without you we can do nothing. Forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, we pray that you will help us, those of us who are truly saved already, to repent of our evil ways, to turn from our evil ways. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to repent. And we pray, Lord, for the salvation of those who are lost, who are blinded by Satan. Open their blinded eyes and stop their deaf ears and help them to hear the gospel today and to be saved. Break the band of wickedness in the church today and in our individual lives. And Lord, we pray that your holy name would be glorified, your holy Son Jesus Christ lifted up, your Holy Spirit demonstrated. We are reminded by your holy word tonight that is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Help us to remember that. And so, Lord, we pray for a fresh unction and anointing, liberty and freedom, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of the soul of each individual under the sound of my voice and every soul in this nation. And we pray for the salvation of the soul of this nation called America. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in light of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s recent birthday celebration and the upcoming national holiday named after him, I would like to preach a message, as the old black preachers used to say, in your hearing, a message originally delivered by Dr. King at Detroit's Second Baptist Church in 1954, and originally titled Rediscovering Lost Values. Rediscovering Lost Values, which I am taking the liberty to retitle to A Message for President Trump, President Obama, Pastors, and People, from the grave of the prophet Martin Luther King Jr., adapted from his message titled Rediscovering Lost Values. For we need this message today more than ever. I have chosen to take the liberty to subtitle, give this message a subtitle as well, because Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. repeated this throughout the message. And that is, this is a moral universe. This is a moral universe. Dr. King said, I want you to think with me today from this subject, Rediscovering Lost Values. rediscovering lost values. Dr. King said, there is something wrong with our world. Something fundamentally and basically wrong. I don't think we have to look too far to see that. I'm sure that most of you would agree with me in making that assertion. And when we stop to analyze the cause of our world's ills, many things come to mind. We begin to wonder if it is due to the fact that we don't know enough. But it can't be that, because in terms of accumulated knowledge, we know more today than men have known in any period of human history. We have the facts at our disposal. We know more about mathematics, about science, about social science and philosophy than we've ever known in any period of the world's history. So it can't be because we don't know enough. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we wonder if it is due to the fact that our scientific genius lags behind. That is, if we have not made enough progress scientifically. Well, then, it can't be that, for our scientific progress over the past years has been amazing. Man, through his scientific genius, has been able to warp distance and place time in chains, so that today it's possible to eat breakfast in New York City and supper in London, England. Now remember, folks, this is 1954. Dr. King goes on to say, back in about 1753, it took a letter 3 days to go from New York City to Washington. And today we can go from here to China in less time than that. It can't be because man is stagnant in his scientific progress. And by the way, we can send a letter within 2 seconds. Not only from New York to Washington, but from New York to Germany via email. Man's scientific genius has been amazing. I think we have to look much deeper than that if we are to find the real cause of man's problems and the real cause of the world's ills today. If we are to really find it, ladies and gentlemen, I think we will have to look in the hearts and souls of men. The trouble isn't so much that we don't know enough, but it's because we aren't good enough. The trouble isn't so much that our scientific genius lags behind, but our moral genius lags behind. The great problem facing modern man is that the means by which we live have outdistanced, have outdistanced the spiritual ends for which we live. So we find ourselves caught in a messed up world, and if you will, a messed up nation. The problem is with man himself and man's soul, amen, somebody. We haven't learned how to be just. We haven't learned how to be kind. We haven't learned how to be truthful, to be true. We have not learned how to be loving. And that is the basis of our problem. The real problem is that through our scientific genius, we've made of the world a neighborhood, but through our moral and spiritual genius, we've failed to make of it a brotherhood. And the great danger facing us today is not so much the atomic bomb that was created by physical science, not so much that atomic bomb that you can put in an airplane and drop on the heads of hundreds and thousands of people, as dangerous as that is. But the real danger confronting civilization today is that atomic bomb which lies in the hearts and souls of men, capable of exploding into the vilest of hate and into the most damaging selfishness. That's the atomic bomb that we've got to fear today. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., rising as a prophet, even though he was a pastor, in this message, was right then, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is right today. The problem is with men and women, if you will, all of us, including our young people, that we have not raised right. Within the heart and the souls of men, that is the real basis of our problem. Dr. King said, "My friends, all I'm trying to say is that if we are to go forward today, we've got to go back and rediscover some mighty precious values that we have left behind. That's the only way that we would be able to make of our world a better world, to make our nation a better nation, and to make of this world what God wants it to be and the real purpose and meaning of it. And of course, that is only through Jesus Christ. Our hearts will never be fixed. The evil will never disappear until everybody under the sound of my voice and beyond give their hearts to Christ and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior." And Dr. King goes on to say, "The only way we can do it is to go back and rediscover some mighty precious values that we've left behind. Our situation in the world today reminds me of a very popular situation that took place in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is found over in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. The story is very familiar, very popular. We all know it. You remember when Jesus was about 12 years old, there was the custom of the feast. Jesus' parents took him up to Jerusalem. That was an annual occasion. The feast of the Passover. And they went up to Jerusalem and they took Jesus along with them. And they were there a few days. And then after being there, they decided to go back home to Nazareth. And they started out. And I guess as it was the tradition in those days, the father probably traveled in front, and then the mother and the children behind. You see, they didn't have the modern conveniences that we have today. They didn't have automobiles and subways and buses. They walked and traveled on donkeys and camels and what have you. So they traveled very slow. But it was usually the tradition for the father to lead the way. And they left Jerusalem going on back to Nazareth. And I imagine they walked a little while and they didn't look back to see if everybody was there. But then the scripture says they went about a day's journey and they stopped. I imagine to check up to see if everything was all right. And they discovered that something mighty precious was missing. They discovered that Jesus wasn't with them. Jesus wasn't in the midst. And so they paused there and looked and they didn't see him around. And they went on and started looking among the kinsfolk. And they went on back to Jerusalem and found him there in the temple with the doctors of the law. And allow me to say here, ladies and gentlemen, that it is sad but true. The church, not all churches, but in general, so many churches are traveling on without Jesus. They have their programs. They have their feasts. They have their conferences. And everybody is there but Jesus. There's no power. There's no unction. There's no anointing. And Jesus is on the outside knocking on the door, wanting to get into his own church. But back to what Dr. King was getting to. Dr. King said, now, the real thing that is to be seen here is this, that the parents of Jesus realized that they had left and that they had lost a mighty, precious value. They had sense enough to know that before they could go forward to Nazareth, they had to go backward to Jerusalem. Amen, somebody. you've had this experience. They had to go back to Jerusalem to rediscover this value. They knew that. They knew that they couldn't go home to Nazareth until they went back to Jerusalem to get Jesus. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you know it's necessary to go backward in order to go forward. That's an analogy of life. I remember the other day I was driving out of New York City into Boston, Dr. King said, and I stopped off in Bridgeport, Connecticut, to visit some friends. And I went out of New York on a highway that is known as the Merritt Parkway. It leads into Boston, a very fine parkway. And I stopped in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and after being there for 2 or 3 hours, I decided to go on to Boston. And I wanted to get back on the Merritt Parkway. And I went out thinking that I was going toward the Merritt Parkway. I started out and I rode and I kept riding. And I looked up and I saw a sign saying 2 miles to a little town that I knew I was to bypass. I wasn't to pass through that particular town. So I thought I was on the wrong road. I stopped and I asked a gentleman on the road, which way would I get to the Merritt Parkway? And he said the Merritt Parkway is about 12 or 15 miles back that way. You've got to turn around and go back to the Merritt Parkway. You are out of the way now. In other words, before I could go forward to Boston, I had to go back about 12 or 15 miles to get to the Merritt Parkway. May it not be that modern man has gotten on the wrong highway? And if he is to go forward to the city of salvation, if you will, he's got to go back and get on the right parkway. Amen, somebody. And so that was the thing that Jesus' parents realized, that they had to go back and find this mighty precious value that they had left behind in order to go forward. They realized that they needed to go back. And so they went back to Jerusalem and discovered Jesus, if you will, rediscovered him, so to speak, in order to go forward to Nazareth. Now, that's what we've got to do in our world today, in our individual lives today, in our church today. That is, our churches. In our nation today, in our world today, we need to go back and find precious values. I was talking with my baby son this morning who helped me put this message together. And I talked with him about and asked him about the old landmarks. when I was growing up, there was a popular song about the old landmarks. I wish I can find that song. Maybe I need to go to YouTube and try to find it. Now, I was lost in those days, but I used to hear it on Sunday mornings. We need to go back to the old landmarks. And that's what Dr. King is talking about. And Dr. King goes on to say, we've left a lot of precious values behind. And he was right then in 1954, and he's right for today. We've lost a lot of precious values. He said, and if we are to go forward, if we are to make this a better nation, a better world in which to live, we've got to go back. We've got to go back to the old landmarks that we have forsaken. We've got to rediscover these precious values that we've left behind. I want to deal with one or two of these mighty precious values that we've left behind, that if we're to go forward and to make this a better world, we must rediscover. The first is this. The first principle of value that we need to rediscover is this. That all reality hinges on moral foundations. That all reality hinges on moral foundations. I want you to get this. I want you to get this point that Dr. King talked about in 1954. That all reality hinges on moral foundations. In other words, that this is a moral universe and that there are moral laws of the universe. Just as abiding as the physical laws. Dr. King said, I'm not so sure we all believe that. We never doubt that there are physical laws of the universe that we all must obey. We never doubt that. And so we just don't jump out of airplanes or jump off of high buildings for the fun of it, do we? We don't do that because we unconsciously know that there is a final law of gravitation, of gravity. And if you disobey it, you'll suffer the consequences. We know that, don't we? Even if we don't know it in its Newtonian formulation, we know it intuitively. And so we just don't jump off the highest building in Detroit for the fun of it. We don't do that. Because we know that there is a law called gravity. Dr. King called it gravitation, which is final in the universe. This law is final. You jump off of the Sears Tower, you're going down. It's over. If we disobey it, we'll suffer the consequences. But I'm not so sure, Dr. King said, if we know that there are moral laws, just as abiding as the physical laws. Amen, somebody. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure, he said, we really believe that there is a law of love in this universe. And that if you disobey it, you'll suffer the consequences. I'm not so sure if we really believe that. Now, at least two things convince me that we don't believe that. That we have strayed away from the principle that this is a moral universe. The first thing is that we have adopted in the modern world a sort of a relativistic ethic. Now, I'm not trying to use a big word here. I'm trying to say something very concrete. And that is that we have accepted the attitude that right and wrong are merely relative to our times. Relative to our times and our feelings, our emotions, what we think. And so even in our modern times, we hear among the millennials and others, speak your truth, for I have my truth, and he has his truth. Everybody has their truth. But the Bible tells us that God's word is true. Most people can't stand up for their convictions today, Dr. King said, because the majority of people might not be doing it. See, everybody's not doing it, so it must be wrong. And Dr. King pointed this out in 1954, and is more true today. And since everybody is doing it, it must be right. So a sort of numerical interpretation of what's right. But I'm here to say to you today that some things are right and some things are wrong. Amen, somebody. Eternally so, absolutely so. For example, it's wrong to hate. It always has been wrong to hate, and it always will be wrong to hate. It's wrong in America. It's wrong in Germany. It's wrong in Russia. It's wrong in China. It was wrong in 2000 BC. And it's wrong in 1954 AD. Amen, somebody. It always has been wrong, and it always will be wrong. It's wrong to throw our lives away in riotous living. The jam jam boogie lifestyle. Now, Dr. King didn't say that. I said that. I got it from Charles McKinney. No matter if everybody in Detroit is doing it, it's still wrong. It always will be wrong, and it always has been wrong. Dr. King said there are some things that are right, and there are some things that are wrong. And it does not depend upon our feelings or our times. Amen, somebody. These things have always been wrong. Those things that are wrong. And those things that are right have always been right. Nothing has changed in God's moral universe. We have changed. Sad to say, people who claim to be Christians in church have changed. Pastors have changed. Prophets have changed. Priests have changed. Parents have changed. Dr. King goes on to say, it's wrong in every age and it's wrong in every nation. Some things are right and some things are wrong, no matter if everybody is doing the contrary. Some things in this universe are absolute. The God of the universe has made it so. Amen, somebody. He goes on to say, and so long as we adopt this relative attitude toward right and wrong, we're revolting against the very laws of God Himself. And so, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to add, following Dr. King's thinking in this message, and most importantly, the Word of God itself, some things are right and some things are wrong, even in our modern times. Dr. King preached this message in 1954. He was right then, and the message rings true today. When Dr. King preached this message in 1964, he never imagined what would be going on in 2019. Following Dr. King's thinking in this message, and most importantly, the Word of God, some things are right and some things are wrong, and these things have always been right, and there are things that have always been wrong. For example, lying is wrong. Telling the truth is right. If President Trump lies, lying is still wrong. Whether you support him or not, lying has always been wrong, is wrong now, and always will be wrong. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, homosexuality is wrong, even though President Obama supports homosexuality, promoted it while he was president, caused the state, the government, to sanction it. It is still wrong. Amen, somebody. Homosexuality always has been wrong, is wrong now, and always will be wrong. Adultery is wrong. If a pastor, preacher, priest, or prophet does it, it is still wrong. Adultery has always been wrong, is wrong now, and always will be wrong. This is a moral universe. Amen, somebody. And ladies and gentlemen, when we violate God's moral law, we suffer the consequences. As a world, as a nation, as a city, and as a citizen. And yes, even as the church. Now that isn't the only thing that convinces me, Dr. King said, that we've strayed away from this attitude, this principle. The other thing is that we have adopted a sort of pragmatic test for right and wrong. Whatever works is right. That's what's happening today in the government. That's what's happening today in the church. That's what's happening today in families. If it works, it's all right. And now Christians have fallen for this. Black pastors supported Obama, lying about he was not for homosexuality, but was supportive all along, and they fell for it hook, line, and sinker, and allowed him to change this country in a very evil way. Black pastors did. Now we have white pastors trying to cover up the lies and evil deeds of our president instead of standing flat-footed and saying, "Thou art the man, Mr. President, you're wrong. This is not going to work." Because this is God's moral universe. And when we violate God's laws, we suffer the consequences. It's never right to do wrong. And all of us as Christians, black, white, red, and yellow, know that that's the case. We don't have to hate anybody, but we as Christians must tell people the truth when they do wrong. And you can still support somebody if you want to, but tell them the truth. Tell them to stop supporting that which God in His Word does not support, such as homosexuality. Tell him the truth that lying never works for the president who lies all of the time. If you want to still support him, that's fine, but tell him the truth that lying will destroy your reputation more than anything. Dr. King goes on to say, "Nothing is wrong, but that which does not work," is what they say. If you don't get caught, it's right. That's the attitude, isn't it? It's all right to disobey the Ten Commandments, but just don't disobey the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not get caught. Thou shalt not get caught is the 11th commandment. And Dr. King was preaching this in 1954. It is more so today. The philosophy of many preachers, many parents, and many politicians. That's the attitude. That's the prevailing attitude in our culture and in our country, in our politics, in our churches, in our families. Do what you want to do, but just don't get caught. Lie about it, but don't get caught. Cover your tracks. CYA. No matter what you do, just do it with a bit of finesse. Say it a certain way. Tell the lie in a cute little way. You know, a sort of attitude of the survival of the slickest. Not the Darwinian survival of the fittest, but the survival of the slickest. Whoever can be the slickest is the one who's right. It's all right to lie, but lie with dignity. Lie with a straight face. Lie with a $1,000 suit on. With a $1,000 smile. It's all right to steal and to rob and extort, but do it with a bit of finesse. Be slick about it. In the back. It's even all right to hate, but just dress your hate up in the garments of love and make it appear that you are loving when you are actually hating. Get good at it. Just get by. Just get over. Just get the hook up by any means necessary. That's the thing. That's right. According to the new ethic. Dr. King goes on to say, "My friends, that attitude is destroying the soul of our country and our culture. It's destroying our nation. The thing that we need in the world today is a group of men and women who will stand up for right and be opposed to wrong, no matter what side of the fence you're on. Amen, somebody. Wherever it is. Dr. King said, a group of people who have come to see that some things are wrong, whether they're caught or not. Some things are right, whether nobody sees you doing them or not. All I'm trying to say is our world hinges on moral foundations. God has made it so. God has made the universe to be based on a moral law. So long as man disobeys it, he is revolting against God, and he will suffer the consequences. That's what we need in the world today. People who will stand for right and goodness. Daniel White the Fourth. It is not enough to know the intricacies of zoology and biology, but we must know the intricacies of law. What's right and what's wrong. It is not enough to know that 2 and 2 makes 4. But we've got to know somehow that it's right to be honest. Amen, somebody. To tell the truth. And to be right and just with our brothers. It's not enough to know all about our philosophical and mathematical disciplines. But we've got to know the simple disciplines of being honest and loving people we don't like and being just and fair with all humanity. If we don't learn it, we will destroy ourselves by the misuse of our own powers. Ladies and gentlemen, this universe hinges on moral foundations. There is something in this universe that justifies Thomas Carlyle's saying, no lie can live forever. There is something in this universe that justifies William Cullen Bryant's saying, truth crushed to the earth will rise again. There is something in this universe that justifies James Russell Lowell's saying, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, with that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown stands God, within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. And ladies and gentlemen, there is something in this universe that justifies the biblical writer in saying, you shall reap what you sow. And this is a law-abiding universe. This is a moral universe. It hinges on moral foundations. If we are to make of this a better nation and a better world, we've got to go back and rediscover, first of all, Jesus Christ, the most precious value, but also the other precious values that we've left behind. Amen, somebody. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your servant, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who preached this message originally in 1954, 6 years before I was born. And yet, it is so timely today. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for the privilege to hear it in another way. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as Christians, our failures, our faults, of not living a moral life, a godly life, an obedient life. And as Dr. King predicted, we have suffered the consequences. It's all over the place. It's in every newspaper today. The church is in the news today just as much as the politicians, the thieves and the crooks. Lord, help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves so that we can even be fit to be a witness to those who are lost. For the way the church has gone, the so-called black church and the so-called white church, we have positioned ourselves, unfortunately, where we're not the salt of the earth anymore. And from this point forward, if wholesale confession of sin and repentance will not take place, if it does not take place, the church has lost all influence in society going forward. If we're not willing to stand up against evil and tell the truth to power and rebuke presidents who are leading the country to destruction because of sin and evil, and who would probably do right if there was a prophet bold enough to tell them the truth. Lord, have mercy and grace upon us and upon this nation and upon this world through your holy Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing you need to do to get right with God is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you have not done so. And tonight, if you're with us and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done wrong. From Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Billy Graham, the Pope, all of us have done evil in our lives. We have all violated the laws of God, the moral laws of God. We all have failed God, and we need to admit that. That's the beginning. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin, for all of our sins. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all are headed towards the grave. We're all going to die. It is really one of the most powerful thoughts on earth. What is going to happen to me after I die? We die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes back to God. And if we have trusted Christ as Savior, we'll go to heaven to be with God. If we have rejected Christ because we love sin more, we will go to hell. And that leads me to my third point. You need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, no matter who you are, how pretty you are, how handsome you are, how rich you are. Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world. But if he does not trust Christ as Savior, he will go to hell like everybody else who has rejected Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Here are some of the people who are going to hell according to the Bible. In Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Hell is a serious matter. Hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart, dear friend, to save your soul, and he will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Bible says, and here's God's promise for you, here's God's guarantee. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend of mine, if you're ready to trust Christ as Savior, if you're ready to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and you're willing to pray and ask him to save you, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. This is the most important thing that you will ever do in your life. And you will have the most precious value ever. And that is Jesus Christ in your life. If you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm willing to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. We love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.